Happy Hogmanay, as we would say here in Edinburgh, or I hope you are all having a good New Year's Eve. What a year in video games. I must admit, there were points in this year where I was playing so many big, long video games that I thought, I'm not actually going to be able to beat 10 games that came out in this year and create this list. But somehow, here we are. It happened. This video exists. I managed it. I did it. Planet of Lana here. I think it's probably the honorary number 11. A very good game, but in a tough year just didn't quite make it. But yeah, you're not here to hear me waffle. You are here to listen to my top 10 games of the year, so let's get to it. Number 10, Hi-Fi Rush. Hi-Fi Rush is a masterclass in how to make a character action game interesting to me. Take an incredibly bright cel-shaded art style, throw in some top tunes, and make an entire combat system that revolves around music, and now I'm listening. Hi-Fi Rush gradually rolls out new mechanics that stopped me feeling overwhelmed, and by the end of the game, I was taking out huge bosses with impeccable timing and combos that would have seemed impossible at the start of the game. Another highlight are the enemies and bosses that force you to do certain button inputs in the fast-paced call and response sequences that feel like a really fitting way to finish off some of the tougher battles in the game. I guess the biggest downside of Hi-Fi Rush is that it has slightly killed the character action genre for me. I now need combat that is timed entirely around the game's music. I guess I could always turn to a bit of Metal Hellsinger. Number 9, Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Mario Wonder manages to reinvent 2D Mario while somehow still managing to do the traditional things that 2D Mario games seem to have to always do by Nintendo lore. The Wonder Seeds give an injection of fresh ideas to almost every single level in the game and were the number one factor in driving me on to want to see every next level. The overworld also feels fresh and vibrant, with chatty flowers actually adding to the unique style Wonder seems to have over its predecessors. While Mario still jumps in that way that 2D Mario always does and seems to cling onto his lives even though they were ditched in his last 3D outing, there's still a stark reinvention of the playing experience that I loved. It's so refreshing to see some conventions being broken, but I was left wanting even more rules thrown out the window. I still believe throwing conventions out the window has been done more in the 3D space than the 2D space. Just look at Mario Odyssey, for example. My pal Mario may be the master of the 3D platforming space, but I'm afraid Madeline and DK still have a thing or two to say about reaching the top echelons of 2D platforming. Maybe next time, Mario. Number 8, F-Zero 99. We actually got an F-Zero game in 2023. I'm going to say that again. We actually got an F-Zero game in 2023. I didn't know that I needed F-Zero to be a 99-player battle royale, but when you actually think about it, the format makes perfect sense. The lore and world-building of F-Zero really is about incredibly dangerous driving in large crowds of racers, so to actually play a game that pumps up the tension and forces you to outperform 98 other racers often just to survive actually gets right to the heart of what F-Zero was always meant to be for me. The feeling of coming around the final couple of bends with a chance of coming out on top is a thrill that I've never really felt to the same degree in any racing game. Now, I've only actually won once at F-Zero 99, but wow, do I need to play more, and I'd love to see how this game is going to impact the series in the future. Number 7, Wargroove 2. Sometimes you just need more of a good thing. I really didn't have too many complaints about Wargroove when it came out in 2019. In fact, it was my game of the year. By and large, Wargroove 2 does nothing to reinvent the impeccable turn-based strategy formula, but I will say the game still steps it up in a couple of ways. The characters and hopping between factions across four mini-campaigns adds a nice variety, not only for the characters and their relationships, but shifting locations and really mixing up battle conditions. And to top it all off, the different campaigns nicely come together in what turns out to be a pretty lean but solid overall single-player campaign. Wargroove has become my favourite turn-based strategy game series, and Wargroove 2 takes what was so great about the first game while mixing up battle scenarios just enough to keep the series feeling fun and fresh. And let's be honest, I would be happy to play one of these every single year until the day I die. Number 6, Jusung. I'm not like MBZ. That guy has to have his games at 100 miles per hour. He'll say things like, why is this battle animation so slow? Why can't my characters go faster? Why can't I skip this cutscene? Some people even say that he's the Joseph Anderson of TNL. I'm the opposite. I love an in-depth tutorial. I like to slow it all right down and take in the sights as I see them. So give me a game that is entirely focused on slow-paced climbing with heavy cinematic silent storytelling like a Fumito Ueda game, and Jusung is doing exactly everything that I could possibly want. Each of the 6 chapters gradually evolves the climbing mechanics in an interesting way. From trailers, I was concerned that the big rock that you were climbing would become a bit samey, but that couldn't be further from the truth, as you discover unique environments with jaw-dropping lighting and colors that make you want to climb that huge rock even slower to take in the world around you. The mechanics never got frustrating for me, and learning to master the art of putting in a piton and swinging to the next checkpoint up onto a ledge became incredibly satisfying and rewarding. Where Uncharted's climbing is the break from combat in that series and feels more like a casual snack, Jusung puts climbing on a plane that makes it feel like a huge sense of achievement every time you complete a long climbing sequence. It was some of the most rewarding gaming I felt all year. Don't Nod really surprised me with Jusung and created something so unique where it's nice to see big budgets go into smaller, shorter experiences. Number 5, Cocoon. When MBZ sounds the "Bally, you must play this game now" klaxon, it immediately raises my expectations on a game sky high. But wow, did Cocoon deliver on those expectations. I'm a little bit hard to please with puzzle games and often get to a point where a guide has to step in and help me out. Alternatively, I find the game so easy that it didn't really feel like a challenge at all. And I'll admit, the second option very rarely happens. But Cocoon takes you right to the edge where you're about to get that phone out to Google an answer when boom, the solution comes to mind and you're able to progress. This is where Cocoon's game mechanics are at their most elegant. Manipulating orbs that you can then go inside and affect the outside world is not only a difficult mechanic to explain in this script, but was for me the best part of the game. And that's before even mentioning the amazing boss design, where new mechanics are specifically used on one-off occasions for each of the bosses in the game. The action nature of the bosses really makes it feel a lot more Zelda-like and adds an unexpected depth to the game that gave me a perfect break from puzzling and strengthened the game's pacing. Add crunchy, metallic yet still organic sound design and some almost Soviet Star Wars sci-fi visuals that produce a uniquely bizarre alien world, and you realize the whole game is completely seamless. For what this game is going for, it really is perfection. Number 4, Pikmin 4. I don't think I was mentally ready for Pikmin 4. In an insanely busy year of top quality games, I was looking forward to an 8 to 12 hour fairly standard game with a couple nice twists like Ochi and a solid outing for the series, but nothing game changing. Little did I know that Pikmin 4 was a 40 hour juggernaut of a game, oozing with different modes and things to do. Initially, when I realized the game's length, I thought it was going to be too much for what the series has always been to me, a fairly chill but sometimes tense real-time action romp. Pikmin 4 is so much more than that. Exploring the overworld, Dandori battles, tower defense style night modes, timed missions, and some awesome post-game content all kept me hooked to this game for the full 40 hours. The game just took me to this zen space. Go to the place, collect the thing, now go and find the next thing. It sounds straightforward, but that simple gaming loop is the best executed yet with Pikmin 4, and the way that the other modes mix up that loops makes the game constantly feel fresh and very hard to put down. With Ochi being the very best boy in all of gaming, Pikmin 4 was an easy game to stick up high on this list. Number 3, Octopath Traveler 2. Octopath 2 is the best RPG of all time. Storytelling, music, combat, visuals. Octopath 2 is doing everything I need from an RPG. My biggest issue from the first game was that I needed more of an Avengers Assemble moment, While I know the first game had that kind of thing in its post-game, Octopath 2 makes it a fairly major part of the main game and ties the eight characters together in a far more elegant and satisfying way. Many of the locations are also far more memorable with the sequel. While there's been a healthy injection of steampunk and industry into the world, there's also been far more care taken to move slightly away from traditional fantasy tropes. It's a really fresh direction that makes so many of the towns and locations that bit more special. The storytelling also takes a step up from the first game. Most of the characters now have stories with more chapters and slightly more twists that make the stories less predictable and allow them to breathe more and often take incredibly dark turns before resolutions are then reached. While I don't think the character-specific abilities are a complete game-changer, I do think that some of the new classes in the late game seriously mix up the formula and give you an insane number of options when it comes to how to boost your squad and take down some of the toughest bosses in the game. Again, Octopath takes RPG traditions and shows what you can do in a modern video game development context with those same fundamentals. It may have come out way back in February, but you can't call yourself a fan of RPGs until you've played this one. Number 2, Spider-Man 2. Sometimes a game swings on over that is so impeccably paced and breezy to play that you plow through the whole thing in just over a week. I had incredibly high expectations for Spider-Man 2, and Insomniac did not disappoint. Fundamentally, Spider-Man 2 made traversal more fun with the wingsuit, cut down on combat-focused collectibles, and gave its side quests compelling smaller stories, often with greater resolutions and moments than the main story questline. When you cut out the drier stuff and make the good stuff even better, the whole experience sings as a result. Playing as the two Spideys and getting involved in their own individual stories meant that I saw smaller, less world-ending stories from Miles and Peter, as well as the overarching stuff that happens in New York. The two side quests, Howard as well as Graffiti Trouble, are two of the best moments in the whole game, and Howard in particular had me bawling my eyes out like I was playing an indie game, not a Sony AAA. Without spoilers, there is a sequence in the final third of the game that is an exemplar on how to make third-person story-driven adventure-style games that extra bit more special. Insomniac have learned how to improve on their previous two Spider-Man games and have set up a universe that is unparalleled in the video game space. I actually care more about this universe than Star Wars when it comes to video games, and I'm not even into superheroes that much. This isn't because of the care put into the superheroes and the villains of this universe. I think it's because of the care put into the world building and sometimes giving characters away from the front of the stage to the limelight. Ultimately, the real superheroes of this game aren't Miles and Pete, they're Howard and Haley. Number 1, The Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom. Yes, the sequel to my favorite game of all time is, shockingly, an incredible game and is my game of the year for 2023. But to be honest, it really couldn't be anything else. The luxury of this being part of an annual top 10 list is that I don't actually have to decide whether I think this game is better than Breath of the Wild or not, because to be frank, right now, I really don't know. I also don't think that Tears of the Kingdom is an evolution of Breath of the Wild, but more taking a world and its chemistry systems and turning the entire thing on its head by redesigning the world and most importantly the ways that you explore it. I've actually come to the conclusion that repeating the use of the Hyrule overworld is a good thing. In Breath of the Wild, you gradually climb taller and taller mountains to see more into the distance to reveal and then explore Hyrule's points of interest. Going from a game with a handful of systems to gain verticality in Breath of the Wild, to a game like Tears of the Kingdom where there are likely thousands of ways to gain verticality, the idea that you can gradually reveal a world where mountains can hide points of interest quickly falls flat. A new world with mountains and points of interest in the traditional style simply wouldn't have worked. That's why one of the game's great innovations, the depths, are a clever change to this tradition. With a focus on darkness and revealing more of the world through light, verticality moves from being a central part of exploration to a secondary part, as gaining height alone won't reveal points of interest like in Breath of the Wild. This complements nicely the sky islands that allow you to glide or fly to almost every point of the overworld map. Again, Nintendo changed up forms of discovery where the depths and caves are now where secrets reside, not behind mountains. We also need to talk about Ultra Hand. This ability alone is one of the boldest things I've seen in any game, and for Nintendo to be bold enough to put it in a game that runs on hardware from 7 years ago is staggering. Creating insane tanks, flying contraptions, and bridges that you would think would simply get too long for the game to handle don't ever crash the game, and proves just how much Nintendo, above all other developers, can get that extra juice out of the Nintendo Switch. Tears of the Kingdom is dripping with grandeur. The temples are innovative and have some excellent unique bosses combined with some really impressive quest design. The interesting turmoil each town is in, plus the routes to get to those dungeons, all make Tears of the Kingdom feel like the most epic Zelda yet. And the music, God, the music! It's a cacophony of old Zelda tunes mixed with new that pull hard on your heartstrings to make set piece moments, especially at the end of the game, feel that extra bit more special. The Zelda team have learned a lot of lessons from Breath of the Wild, and perhaps entirely unsurprisingly, given the success of their first game, they really have done it again. And there you have it, that's my top 10 games for 2023. I must admit I lied at the start of the video, I said I beat all these games, Forza here. I didn't actually beat that game, I'm still playing that game. I'm having a very good time with Forza. Again, didn't quite creep in. It could have snuck in at the bottom, but I don't know, just that top 10 just slightly edged out Forza, but I'm still going to play a bit of Forza in 2024. I'm going to keep trucking along with that game. But yeah, thank you to everyone who listened to the podcast this year and, you know, has supported myself and NBZ. The podcast that I do with NBZ remains an incredibly big part of my life, and I enjoy it greatly. It gives me a great window into just all these incredible games in this industry that I really thoroughly enjoy and enjoyed talking about with one of my best pals from way back when, and you know, long may it continue. I really hope you and your loved ones are having a great festive break at the moment, and on to 2024. I'll see you in the new year.